This weekend, the Gospel focuses on the importance of prayer, what type of prayer we should say, and most of all, persistence in prayer. Marvellous story from the first book of everyone's Bible, Genesis, reminds us of enterprise bargaining. Abraham drove down our Lord, in the sense he pushed him down, somewhat like going to a marketplace and haggling over the price. And the good Lord went down and down and down to 10 men, but they couldn't even find 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah. Persistence also focuses on the gospel about seeking, searching, asking, knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you don't give up in prayer, you shall be saved. Persistence is so important. We need to keep on going, never falter in our prayer. But to help us, God himself gives us the type of prayer we ought to say. Can you imagine when that question was asked, Lord, teach us to pray? And then our Lord started and gave us the prayer, the only prayer written in heaven that has been given to us on earth. Of course, Luke's version, especially in the Jerusalem Bible, somewhat mutilates the version we normally say, which comes from Matthew's Gospel. Nevertheless, there are still 7 petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Sadly, fewer and fewer Christians know this prayer by heart. Once upon a time, irrespective of whether people had drifted from the church or weren't practicing, at funerals, gatherings, we could all stand and say the prayer together. But more frequently now than in the past, we find at funerals and such gatherings, fewer people know the prayer or feel at least confident in saying the words, which shows that even this prayer is not being learnt as it ought to be. And even those who know the prayer sometimes confuse or just fail to understand what the words themselves mean. So it's good to stop ourselves and go through a good commentary on the Lord's Prayer. Saints have written books about it. Saint Therese of Avila wrote for her own sisters and nuns a commentary on this prayer. Of course, the Church itself in the Catechism has a very lengthy explanation of each of the 7 petitions. But firstly, the Lord's Prayer is made up of 7 statements or petitions, of which 3 pertain to God and 4 to us. The first 3 refer to thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. They're God-focused. And for that reason, St. Thomas Aquinas linked the 7 petitions to the 7 virtues, of which 3 refer to God: faith, hope, and charity. The last 4 petitions refer to us and our needs and our neighbour. Give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. And within this prayer, we find the summation not just of the Christian life, but of all the issues that will come and go daily, weekly, monthly, until we depart from this world unto the next. The prayer itself has no limits. One can ponder it, come back to it, analyse it, break it up, and it still probes the very mind. Because, as I said, it's God's prayer given to us, and therefore it has no limits. It's profound in meaning and very effective in use. The first 2 words themselves make us ponder. St. Thomas Aquinas, in commenting on this, stopped and spent many paragraphs just explaining these 2 words. Our Father. We take it for granted, the Paternoster, the Our Father, but for the Jews this would have been astonishing. Firstly, that Christ did not say, as you and I perhaps would have, my Father. Jesus ought to have said, my Father. He was the Son, God is the Father. How did we get involved in the picture? But he says, our Father. Because by grace we are adopted sons and daughters of God the Father. Then he used, instead of saying the formal word for Father, he used a rather intimate word, a rather unique word, Daddy, Abba, or Pa, our Pa or Daddy, who is in heaven. Not was or will be, is. There's no past or future for God. It's always present. And he is in heaven, awaiting us, and God is holy. Not nice or kind, as we might like to think he is, but holy. That's the only adjective used to describe the nature of God, his holiness. That's why our Lord would say, be ye perfect, be ye holy, as your Father in heaven is holy. So that refers to who God is. The second is hope to get to heaven. Thy kingdom come. Heaven's a kingdom. It's not so much in the sky, but the kingdom of God is ever present. And they can see us, although we can't see them. And that's our goal, to be with the King and the Queen in our royal domain at the end of this life. How do we get there? Thy will be done. Not my will or his will or her will, but God's will be done in my life on earth so that I one day will be welcomed into his kingdom in heaven. And to do that, we keep the Ten Commandments. The last four petitions refer to our needs. Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Give us, Lord, our supersubstantial nourishment on a daily basis. Many church fathers saw in this a reference to Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. As our parents give us daily food to help our body remain nourished and not lose heart or faint along the way, so too God gives our soul spiritual food daily so that we might not lose hope and that we might persevere. With that nourishment, with that sustenance, we are then able to live the Christian life, which will always involve forgiveness. Forgiveness needs to be rediscovered in our modern era. And the theme of forgiveness is so important in the Lord's Prayer, because we shall not be forgiven ourselves, and we are all sinners, unless we learn to forgive others, and that's from the heart. Forgive us our trespasses, forgive us, Lord, our sins, inasmuch as we are able, with your grace, to forgive those who sin against us. And as we journey home to heaven with forgiveness in our heart, we need to fight off temptation.